We're riding into town.
I'm really loud in my headphones.
Was
and
it?
I'm glad because that's not quite the track I was looking for.
Yeah, that's
maybe this
different.
Is the wrong artist.
I think it just kind of sounds like we're riding into town.
Very slowly.
Kind of like Kung Fu, Old West, Orient.
This is the Noontime Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. And we're not quite sure what we chose. We just grabbed something out of the world.
Leave that up the whole time.
Just in the background? Just leave it.
Ambiance.
It's not the kind of ambiance I'm looking for.
No, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Okay. All right, phone number is 241. I forgot the phone number. 241-8801.
Extension 1. 241-881. Yeah.
There you go.
241.
It's only been a week since I've been here.
8801. Extension 1.
This is the Noontime Public Affairs.
We have somebody already calling. Should we
We can't answer yet. We got to get through all the stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And you can find us at helpmerick.com. You can tweet Adam or find him anywhere on the web at Talking Digital. You can tweet me or find me anywhere on the web at helpmerick. And we do need to get a few things out of the way here real quickly. So if you're calling 241-8801, stay there. We'll get right to it. Very good. Okay, now we're open for business. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. And we'll be glad to help you with any of your computer-related travails and tribulations. So give us a call. 241-8801, extension 1. What are you looking at there?
The CD we were playing the music from, and the notes just say mellow.
Oh, so I didn't see that.
Maybe it's all just mellow.
That's okay. It makes us even seem louder than we already are.
Yeah, I know. We're going into it. that's right.
All right, Mr. Adam. Well, the last two KAFM public affairs, I was gone in the third week of May.
Yeah.
So we had Matt sit in for me.
Yeah.
And then last week, Adam was gone, and Matt sat in for Adam.
That's right. So it's becoming the Matt show.
The Matt. He's the Matt substitute. But now we have both of us back in the saddle, and we got a phone call.
Hello, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I have a question about the wireless in my house.
Okay.
I haven't had a problem up until about 2 weeks ago on the laptop in the front room. The other computer's in the office where the router is. And it'll just keep dropping and losing its wireless connection on the laptop.
But the other wireless device is just fine. You said, right?
Well, the other one is a PC.
Oh, and it's wired directly.
Right.
Uh-huh. Has anything changed on your laptop?
No.
Okay, then probably the two things to do, how often do you shut the laptop off? Let me ask that question.
Totally off?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay, so we're going to do the two simplest things to do with any type of internet connectivity problem, and whether you're wired or wireless, is to shut the computer off, leave it completely off, and then while it's in the off position, don't just reboot it, turn it off. While it's in the off position, go over to your wireless router and your modem. Are you Bresnan or are you Quest?
Bresnan.
You're Bresnan. So you're going to go over to your modem, your Bresnan modem, and your router, your wireless router, and you're going to first of all unplug the power from the back of the router. That's just the small, skinny, black, round cable at the back of it. Don't unplug the phone-looking things. Just unplug the power. And while the power is unplugged from the router, then you're going to hit the reset button on your Bresnan modem. Do you have the Bresnan telephone, TV, and internet?
Correct.
Okay, so on the back of that big black modem from Bresnan, it's very hard to see, but it's a recessed hole. You're going to need a ballpoint pen or a toothpick or something like that. You're going to poke it in that hole to reset that modem. And you're going to see all the lights go out on the front of the modem, and you're going to wait till all the lights come back on before you plug the power into the router. And then that's going to reboot your router. And then once you've got it all up and running, then you can turn your computer on. And 97.23% of the time, that's going to fix what you have going on.
Okay, Okay.
All right. So it's very simple.
Well, sometimes it will just reconnect by itself also.
It will. That can happen, but do this. This is just a real quick and easy. It sounds like a lot of stuff to do, but this is a quick and easy reset that's going to get everything reset back to the way it should be, and hopefully you're going to have a lot less problems by doing this, and do it periodically. I do it to my system almost once a month. How often do you do yours, Adam?
Reset my router?
Yeah.
Probably a little less than that, maybe once every 2 or 3 months, actually.
If you have a problem.
But, yeah, just when I have a problem. The other thing I'm wondering, though, is it possible that her laptop is somehow connecting up to a different wireless network?
That's a good question.
See, that's down by
look
your
into that.
When you're getting a low signal or whatever, click down there on your by your clock on the little wireless network.
It's on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on your computer. I'm assuming it's a PC, right?
We didn't determine that.
Is it PC or Mac?
PC.
Okay. So, yeah, down by your clock, click on the little wireless icon and make sure that the network you're connected to is your network.
Good point.
Sometimes you'll have a network from a neighbor that will have a weaker signal, but the computer will grab onto it first. And when that's the case, then it can be flaky depending on whether your neighbor is running their microwave or talking on their cordless phone or something like that.
Oh, well, you know what? When this does do that, it'll say down there, unidentified network.
Okay, see there, let's try that. Next time it happens, go down and click by your clock and see if your network is available in the wireless networks. Maybe it's trying to connect to somebody else's network.
To a neighbor. Did you set your network up with its own name and password?
Yes,
Okay, yeah, so then, and so Adam's exactly.
Yeah, this just started. About 2 weeks ago. It's been set up for over a year and a half.
Do the reset no matter what. That's always a good thing to do because even if it is, if your wireless is a little bit sketchy and it's trying to jump onto a neighbor's wireless, it doesn't have a password, but it's a very weak signal. That could be causing what's going on as well. So by resetting, you're going to make sure your system is at its strongest possible. But also check what Adam is pointing out, and if your computer is trying to attach to an unsecured wireless somewhere else in the neighborhood, and because of the distance, it could very well cause this kind of problem also.
Oh, okay. Well, I will do that then.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those two problems.
Oh, it's going to be one of those two problems. Yeah. 241-8801, extension 1, because we're never wrong.
Actually, you know what's different?
We're
the type of computer guys that admit that sometimes we are wrong.
And we don't know everything.
That's right. Have you ever seen that kind of computer guy before?
Very rarely.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
241-8801, extension 1, Noontime Public Affairs here on 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. Facebook is dying. You heard that?
Oh, I heard. Yeah, that's...
I believe it. I truly believe that we're going to see a leveling off.
Yeah. Lots of reasons.
Yeah.
Not just because Facebook, the novelty is worn off. That's a big part of it. But the other part is that there's so many people or so many businesses. This is another big thing, I think, is there's a lot of businesses that when Facebook was new created friend accounts.
Okay.
And now they're starting to realize there's a lot of disadvantages to creating a friend account for your business. And so they're closing down their friend accounts and creating like pages instead. I think that's part of it, too.
You think that's part of it?
I don't think it's a big percentage, but I think it's significant enough.
Also, internet news today.
Yeah.
One of my favorite companies... has gone public today. You know who that is?
LinkedIn?
No.
I don't know who
LinkedIn.
It is. I know, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Pandora.
It's Pandora goes public
Pandora,
today. That's right.
They're public. Yeah. Now, their highest price today was $26. They're down to $18.
Well, get some.
But that's not a bad price. I don't know.
We'll talk about Pandora in just a second. Let's answer this call. Look, there we go. Hello, you're on Public Affairs. We're talking about computers with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Yes, hi. Say, you mentioned earlier you had a couple of programs hosted by Matt. Are those posted on your website? Can those be downloaded?
We have a couple of programs.
Well, hosted by Matt. We had Matthew Kettlewell
we did not record those two shows.
Oh, you did not.
Those two shows were not recorded with Matt. Nope. I thought he said Mac. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. All right.
We weren't sure how those shows were going to go because it wasn't the two of us, and we just, we didn't post them anywhere, and we didn't even bother recording them.
Oh,
Matt's one of our favorite tech guys, but he's a new radio guy.
Exclusive public service shows.
Okay. Yep.
We'll do it in the future, though. We didn't realize Matt had the fans, and in the future we'll make sure if we have him on again, we'll record it.
Okay, good deal. Here's my question. I have a new laptop, and it's my first one. My wife seems to have a lot of trouble with the touchpad.
Yes.
It's very difficult to control the mouse cursor, plus if you're in Microsoft Word and your palm...
That's actually how I feel about it, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys probably use a lot of laptops. What's your... You know, there are those that are mini mouse size, they're wireless.
What brand of laptop is this?
It's an Asus.
That's an Asus. Now, most newer laptops have one of two options that are already included on your laptop, that one of three options, actually, that can help you decrease that problem with your palm or your thumb hitting that trackpad inadvertently. And one of them is, and if you had this, you probably would already seen it, is an actual physical button right near the trackpad that you can turn the trackpad on and off. So when you're typing, you can turn it off. When you don't need to type, you turn it on. And
unfortunately, mine doesn't have that.
Okay.
I've already went through the manual, and you can do it in the control panel, but you can't do it on
with a physical button. All right. Now, how about does the you said yours is an Asus?
Yes.
Does yours have the little function and then one of the F keys, like the F5 or F6 key? Does it have a little function toggle?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Because some of the newer ones have that, and if you look on those function keys, you may see a little rendition of a mouse pad, look like a little square with the two buttons. And if you see that, then you can do a function toggle with that. So that's another thing. And then the third thing that may be built in is in your control panel, if your computer came with some trackpad control software, there are some things that you can adjust in there. One of them is called Palm Check. And you want to increase the sensitivity of that so that it decreases the amount of sensation it gets from your palm. I don't know. I don't think it has sensation.
Sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
Yeah.
I don't think a mouse pad has sensation. The other thing that I usually do, too, if people have trouble with that, is disable the click or the tap to click.
Yeah, tap to click. Yeah.
Disable that.
Okay.
So those are some things built in that you can do.
And then beyond that, any mouse you want to get to put on it will work. I would just go let your wife pick out the mouse she likes best and just connect that up.
So don't install software.
Yeah, don't install any software. Just connect the mouse right up to it, and that should do the trick.
Okay. Any advantage in using one of those mini mouse?
Just more portable.
Ergonomics of how the hand.
That's exactly. And that's what I said. I mean, the thing with mice is they're already small enough to carry in a bag. So I would just, like I said, take your wife to Best Buy or Home Depot or Office Depot or Office Max or Target or Walmart or wherever, and just have her pick out the mouse she likes best, and that way you know that that's solved.
Got it.
And then definitely turn off that tap to click and the other stuff Rick talked about, and that should do it.
Okay, good advice. Hey, thank you very much.
And then one other quick thing. I just found this. There is a public, and I downloaded this and tried it a few weeks ago. This is an older software, but if you search the web for Touch Freeze, all one word, Touch Freeze, there is a little download, public download that somebody created for Windows. This is for Windows. Which disables the mouse as you type, disables the mouse pad as you type.
Really?
So it's called Touch Freeze. And I did try this on a client's computer, their laptop, a couple weeks ago. And while we were talking, I was searching for that because I'd forgotten the name of it. So Touch Freeze, all one word, and give that a shot as well.
Good deal.
All right.
Hey, you got time for a quick one, or you got any other calls coming in?
Go ahead. How quick is it? Go ahead.
Okay.
We'll answer it quick.
I've got Windows 7 on the Asus, and on the XP machine, which is a desktop. For some reason, Firefox sent me an update from 4 to 5 on Windows XP, but that same update did not show. What?
It should be 3 to 4. Firefox gave you a 3 to 4 update.
Yeah, there's no 5 yet.
Oh no! It Absolutely. It's four to five.
Maybe there was a beta thing then. Okay.
So it came through on the XP machine, but on the Windows 7, the Asus, it did not.
There's no 5 yet. I'm on Firefox's webpage.
There is a Firefox 5 preview available. A preview release.
Yeah.
And maybe somehow you were signed up for some sort of beta thing that made it come through,
but
you shouldn't be getting 5 yet. I mean, you can use it if you download that preview release, but I wouldn't worry about the fact that it's not on the other computer yet because it's not a completely stable version.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very early release version, so it's not something that you want to necessarily play around with unless you don't mind experimenting.
In your opinion, with the criticism that IE has received, is the IE 9.0 better than Firefox 4, say?
IE 9 will never be. You can pick any browser you want, and it'll be better than IE 9.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Internet Explorer still is not ironed out all of their
problems. A lot of it isn't as much the software as it is Microsoft's philosophy that Microsoft should be the one that develops for the internet, and people should develop according to Microsoft's rules. And so anything that doesn't play by Microsoft's rules can render funny, or, there's a lot of people out there that use Microsoft's rules to create viruses and spyware to get it to attack itself. So it's always going to be less safe. I can't predict the future 100%, but based on the philosophy behind IE9 and the Internet Explorer browser, it's probably always going to be less safe than Firefox, Opera, Safari, any of the other ones.
Okay.
Chrome.
Would you lean towards Chrome or Firefox is still a good...
Firefox is good. I use them both. I use them both. And,
I do too.
I don't know which one to tell you.
Chrome because it's minimalist. Firefox is kind of looking like Chrome, but I like the fact that in Firefox you have very little toolbars.
Right.
It's very minimalist, and everything's fast.
That bar across the top works a whole lot better. See, in Firefox, when you type any word, it usually doesn't do a Google search automatically. You're lucky if it does. It still tries to go to a website with that domain name in it, or with that term as a domain, whereas Safari always, if it doesn't recognize the name, it turns it into a Google search and makes it a whole lot easier to find it. And there's a lot of advantages like that.
I see.
So either one. I mean, as long as you're not using Internet Explorer 9, you should be good.
Okay, yeah, I'll stay with my Firefox then. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, and I'm typing up an article real quick right now at helpmerick.com that'll have links to the Touch Freeze software, so you can go to helpmerick.com in a little while and it'll be there.
Good. Too bad.
Very good.
I turned it off. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. But, so if you had Blogzy on there with your iPad, you could just type
it'd
that
been
right
in there.
Yeah, it'd be there already.
Darn it.
Not having an iPad.
241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number here on the Noontime Public Affairs.
Lifehacker just came out with an article, which I really recommend because this is the new trend in things. Watch this article because I imagine they'll update it. It's an article comparing all of the cloud music services and which ones run on which operating systems, which ones support
now
the most
you've
music.
Already used a buzzword.
Cloud music.
You've already used a buzzword, so explain the buzzword.
Okay. There's this hot new trend in the world of technology where companies are allowing you to upload your music onto the internet into an account that only you can get into, and then that music will be available for you to listen to from any computer and even from a lot of other devices like your iPhone or your DVR or something like that. And so the main players right now are Google Music Service, Apple's iCloud, Amazon Cloud Music. There's a one called Spotify that should be coming to the United States fairly
currently
soon.
Currently, it's only in Europe, right?
GrooveShark. There's several
Rhapsody.
Of them here that compares. Rhapsody's a little different because it doesn't allow you to upload your music to
That's
it.
Right.
So you can play music that you've purchased and stuff like that. But these are ones that let you actually upload your own music to the service. So... But anyway, it compares them all and basically tells you how much storage they have, how you have to listen to the music, how much it costs, all of those different things. So a lot of good information on there, and I think that's worth heading on over to Lifehacker to look at because it's just go to Lifehacker and type in cloud music and you'll find it. Right now it's on their front page. But anyway, I was just reading through that, and I thought it was a great thing because a lot of people are going to be going into these services now with their music, because most of them let you store 25,000 songs or something like that, which is more music than most people have, mm-hmm. so or most people really want to listen to.
Well, so what is your... See, again, since I'm mostly a radio listener,
right?
And then talking about Pandora earlier,
Pandora listener more than anything.
I have so little of my own music. I've never right. have, even when I
We've
was a kid.
We've actually got rid of all of our CDs. I think we probably have 10 CDs in
Did
the
Did you
house
rip
now.
Them before you
Oh, go? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
so you have.
We didn't just get rid of them. Well,
so
you know,
have
the other thing
music.
Is we got rid of a bunch of them that we never listened to, because a lot of times people gave us a CD, or we found a CD for a dollar at a yard sale, or, you know, whatever. We listen to it and we don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, we got rid of those too and really narrowed it down to just the
so
music.
So how do
to.
You listen to music?
What
is your
I keep
families?
It all on a hard drive, and I listen and
you
to
do?
It if I want to, but usually I'm in the mood to hear music that I don't hear all the time.
Okay.
And if I listen to my own music, chances are I've heard all those songs over and over and over again. So I prefer to go to Pandora, and I've actually made a talking digital Pandora channel. And
Or
helpmerick.com.
No.
No. Or KFM.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. you'll hear a lot of music here you don't listen to all the time.
Of course, that's a given.
Okay.
We were talking about technology.
Gotcha.
I was just
okay.
talking about, if you want to talk about land radio, then yeah, or KFM.org. Yeah, that's absolutely.
Okay.
KFMradio.org.
Just check it. Just
yeah.
check it.
But if we're talking about technology, but yeah, I basically went into Pandora and created a talking digital channel.
Right.
Because I think that today's music listeners mm-hmm. are totally different than any other music listener ever. And this does go directly to KFM. If you go to KFM's music shelf, mm-hmm. right now we have this huge array of CDs
right.
and an entire back room of CDs and mm-hmm. even these plastic discs, these vinyl discs.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff around here.
What are those?
I don't know. I haven't figured them out yet. There's something new. All of that, and you know, it's whatever you're in the mood for, and I think up until now we've had people who say, "What kind of music do you listen to?" Well, I listen to acid rock, and I listen to Rat Pack, or I listen to you know whatever show tunes, and people associated themselves with a genre.
Right
now, I don't think that's the case anymore. When I pick up an iPad, and I have a lot of college students that I teach because I'm a professor at Mesa State College.
Yes, you are.
And as I teach these kids all the time, you know, I'll say, "Well, what music do you have?" And it is really cool because we have Jay-Z and Neil Diamond on the same iPod, you know,
wow.
and it's pretty cool. I mean, and that's really what the iPod, I think, more than the technology and all of that, that's what the iPod has done for today's music listeners. Is it's created an era where it's okay to listen cross genre and listen to jazz and then world music and then rap and then your acid rock or whatever. And everybody picks the music that they're in the mood for, not so much what everybody's, you know, what their friends are listening to.
Right.
Except for the Nickelodeon group that only listens to their genre. But most people listen cross-genre.
I think so, and I think that, like you mentioned, with KFM having so many different shows, kids of all types now have more kinds of music.
Yeah.
My son listens to not old, screechy country, you know,
right.
the real screechy stuff, but
right.
he likes to have, like, Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
He listens to a little bit of the older Johnny Cash,
sure.
like Hank Williams, not the
yeah,
whiny
right.
Hank Williams.
Yeah, right.
But then he also listens to... He doesn't get into a lot of rap. He just doesn't really
no,
like that, but he
but
has
you know,
a couple.
When there's a rap song that's mm-hmm. good, he'll listen to it.
That's
but
right.
he doesn't say, "I'm going to listen to rap right now." He says, "I want to hear this song by
Eminem or
yeah,
whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever."
Right. I was trying to think of the one I was trying to think of.
Jay-Z?
No.
Who's Jay-Z?
Stronger by...
You can tell my breadth of knowledge.
Jay-Z's
of,
a rapper.
Rap.
He's a rapper. Yeah, a rapper. I know we don't play a lot of rap here on KFM either, so we'll move on. But that's what I'm saying. And you can hear it in the music, too,
right.
though. That's what's kind of cool is artists are starting to realize that there's such a cross-genre audience
right.
that they're starting to adopt those music styles. And so now when you hear a song from – well, give you examples. Duffy. I don't know if you heard the Duffy music recently. Duffy is a pop singer.
Okay.
But her music definitely crosses over into – into a lot of other forms of music that wouldn't have been popular at all 10 or 15 years ago.
What's
on
her
a
name?
Rock station. Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y, I think.
Never even heard of that.
You'd recognize her if you heard her, but she's a good example of that. But anyway.
Now, we were going with the cloud.
Yes, we were just talking about the cloud. Right. So you upload your music to the cloud, and then you can listen to it anywhere and everywhere you go.
With any device.
With any,
so you can listen to your phone,
well,
your iPad.
That's one of the reasons it's good to look at this thing, because iOS, the iCloud, the mm-hmm. product by Apple.
Which I have even had clients, they are so darn good about publicity, because
right.
I have people that don't even own Apples
yeah, right.
ask me, hey, what do you think about the Apple's iCloud?
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
Just because it's from Apple,
I know.
People have gotten excited about it.
I know, but even then, like if you have an app, if you have an Android phone, don't expect to have a iCloud app anytime real soon. And if you have an Apple phone, don't expect to have a Google Music app very soon. So it's, you know, you still have to pick and choose which one you prefer.
Right. So the cloud basically is something that's been around for a while,
yeah.
and we've used it in many different ways in terms of creating using it as a word processor, using it for light image editing, using it for other things via websites that provide those tools.
Right.
But now it's becoming a bigger and bigger buzzword. Even Microsoft is starting to put out a lot more advertising about how they are innovating in the
cloud.
They
invented the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And of course, they're late to the game as usual. And
yep.
It's funny, speaking of Microsoft, I had a client the other day who's buying a computer.
Yep.
And the software, she wanted to have Microsoft Office. She
right.
just really needed it. She
yep.
needed Microsoft Publisher.
Ooh.
So she had
they
to buy.
Make Publisher?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she had to pay for the $249 or $200
yep.
version.
Right.
Her software was almost half the price of the total computer. So, you know, that's. It just tells you
wow.
where, you know, Microsoft has got to figure things out and get that kind of stuff
exactly.
a little more streamlined. And speaking of Microsoft Publisher and desktop publishing, because a lot of people use, especially if you're in a small business
right.
or you're in a club, you've used Publisher to create a newsletter
sure.
or flyers,
yeah.
things like that. And it's a great software.
It's great for the desktop publisher who doesn't have to work with other printers and stuff like that.
Correct.
Right.
But there's an open source one called Scribus.
Right.
Have you come across Scribus?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's supposed to be a little more sophisticated
right.
than Publisher, but yet it also gives you, I think, some more of the post-printing
sure.
type of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Right.
And it's available for Mac, Linux, and PC.
Right.
So it's Scribus, S-C-R-I-B-U-S.
Yep.
And so if you're looking in desktop publishing, that's a good thing. So we were talking about Pandora. They went public today.
Yes.
The highest that their stock went today was 26. Was their high today. Currently, it's trading at 18, and I think it opened the day at right around 18. So in fact, there it is. It started at 18.05. Right now, it's 18.83.
Here's the hard part about
so I hope
Pandora.
You didn't buy it at 26.
This is what I've heard about Pandora, and I don't want to get too businessy here, but
okay.
the problem with Pandora is that they have borrowed and basically VC, you know, investors, things like that. But they've borrowed so much money
mm-hmm.
that they're using their initial money that they make from this going public to pay off investors. And so it's not going back into the forms of dividends and things like that for the current
yet,
stockholders
right.
yet. So
uh-huh.
it's still kind of an iffy thing.
They're paying bills with it.
Well, they are
initially.
And really, they still have to pay the same music licensing that a radio station or anybody else would have to pay, and probably mm-hmm. a little bit more in some cases. So it's, you know, it is kind of a strange situation. I want to see Pandora succeed, and I think everybody wants to see Pandora succeed. I think one thing they could really do, and I hope that they do before long, is I hope they
go to the cloud.
Well, they are on the cloud.
I'm just trying to throw you off. Okay, go
oh,
ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I would like to see, I don't think it would be a bad idea at all for them to come out with a $10 a year plan.
Only 10? It's only 30 now.
No, I think 30's great.
Yeah.
30's great.
That's
but
less than
I think
$3
they
a month.
For $30 a month,
mm-hmm.
you
a year.
Don't get, yeah, 30, I'm sorry, $30 a year,
uh-huh.
which is a great deal. I agree.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is everybody sees it as a one priced thing. I think they need to create mm-hmm. another one for people to compare it to say, well, I won't buy the $30 one, but I will buy the $10 one. For $10, I think you should be able to you know, maybe not listen to it all day, maybe still get the get a few commercials, or maybe listen to it all day with commercials. Mm-hmm. Right now you have a 40-hour per month limit on the free account. So if they took that limit off...
And you get commercials fairly frequently nowadays.
Yeah, you do. You get them very frequently. So I think if they kept the commercials but expanded that to a
100
hours or something like that, I think that would
be
reasonable.
So it goes back to our we've talked about this before with cell phones. We've talked about it with the iPad, is bringing down the price... And kind of like what Amazon is doing, where they continue to bring down the price of the unit, the Kindle.
Right.
Because they're hoping, and I think cell phones have proven that, mm-hmm. that you sell it for a little less up front because you're going to make a lot more selling the service on the backside.
Exactly. Give away the printer so that you can sell the ink, give away the razors so you can sell the blades.
Mm-hmm.
It's that model. But I think that Pandora... You know, I think getting more users to use it, I think people want to pay Pandora,
mm-hmm.
but I think that $30 price tag, even though it's, I know it's a full year, and I know that's, you know, barely anything even when you break it down to a monthly fee.
Right.
But I still think if you gave them another one, for psychological reasons, I think if you gave them another $9.99 option, people would say, oh, I'll pay $10 a year so I can listen to it, you know, all month
hours
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because I've used up my 40 hours on a few times.
Have you?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Google released a new search today. Did you hear about that?
Is it Google Live? What is it?
No, today it's Google Image Search. If you're using Google Chrome, we had a caller earlier asked us about Google Chrome.
I haven't seen it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, if Google Chrome automatically added it to the image search page where you can paste in a URL.
Uh-huh.
To an image, or if you come home from vacation and you took a picture of a lighthouse or you took a picture of a building and you want to upload that and find out more information about that building, it will search based on that photo.
That is really cool.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
And so you can also download an extension for Firefox, but if you're using Google Chrome, it automatically got installed as an option there.
And then I bet they catalog those images and use those for more accurate...
Probably, like they do voice.
Yeah.
You probably have to read that, especially if you're your own.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
That is.
And that was just released today.
Wow, good.
And they've always had image search where you can type in an image.
Right, but now you can actually upload an image.
Right.
There's a little picture of a camera. If you go to images.google.com or
if you're using Chrome.
Images.
Are you using Chrome?
No, I'm using Firefox.
And it automatically showed up?
A little camera shows up on the...
Very cool, because I saw it in my Chrome.
See, this little camera shows up to the far right of the box. You click on that, and
I thought that was Chrome only.
Paste the image URL or upload an image.
I wonder if it happens in Internet Explorer.
Probably not.
Nine.
Probably not. It is interesting, though.
Yeah, it is. So it's another new search ability from Google.
Now, speaking of Google...
That was new today.
And speaking of Google, this week, Google was in the news a lot.
For...
Because of their little... their little doodle, the Google Doodle.
The guitar one last week.
Oh, was it last week already? Oh,
yeah.
It was last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
Les Paul's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Made a little Google icon into a guitar.
It was very cool.
Play it.
And you could record it.
You know what? I think that's right. I think that happened the day we recorded the show, and we talked a little bit about it. So
yeah,
I apologize for being redundant.
Well, no, that's okay. And that was one of... I mean, they keep adding little... I think they use Java and Flash to create those little...
They didn't use Flash on this one. It was all HTML5, but yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
And how about the Pac-Man one that they had
a few
months ago?
Pac-Man was all HTML5 also.
Ah, so see, they're not using those. So they're using just future technologies that are available now.
So while they're trying to compete with Apple, they're also trying to prove that Apple is right, that Flash is kind of obsolete. So
very interesting. Because those are some pretty graphic-intensive and very interactive...
Right.
Ways to use the web without those back ends of Java and Flash.
So you could play the guitar strings or hit the G, hit the notes on your keyboard, and it would play it. And there was also a little record, so you could record it, and then you could share it, and it would give you a URL for your recording, and you could
hear what
you recorded. All of that in HTML5. So
wow,
pretty amazing.
There is, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere and you're listening to us on KFMRadio.org.
Yep.
There is a lunar eclipse tonight.
And if you want to watch it, you can go. Google is going to live stream it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they are.
Very
go
cool.
to computerworld.com and you can read all about that. So,
and according to the news that I saw, it's going to be the longest lunar eclipse in the past 100 years.
Wow.
So it's going to be quite a dramatic lunar eclipse.
Wow.
So if you don't live in the Southern Hemisphere, you go to where again? Just go to Google and they'll
It was computerworld.com. I saw it in the Google News. But computerworld.com, Computer World used to be a computer magazine. Now it's just a website. But computerworld.com has it in their main news.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, right, you'll see it there. Of course, if you're listening to this later as a podcast, sorry.
You missed the lunar eclipse.
Go to YouTube and watch the video.
Yep. Yeah, there'll be a video there for sure.
But don't look directly at it. Cut a hole in a piece of paper. Hold it in front of your computer screen.
Speaking of YouTube videos, yeah. Have you seen the recent viral YouTube video from Western Colorado? I'm just going to give you that hint first. It involves water and geese.
Oh, the one with the geese surfing down the Colorado.
Yeah.
Did you see it? I didn't see the video. I saw
the video is pretty cool, but
I saw that it had been a big deal.
Yeah, it's in the first day alone, it went over a million views.
I did see, but you know what I did see that goes right along with that?
Yes.
A few days before that, on some other website, I saw a link to a local story about the people river surfing. Doing the same thing. They're in the Colorado River with...
Well, and that's what this guy was doing. He was going to be filming a surfer.
Right.
But all of a sudden, these geese came into his viewfinder. And so he just followed them into that wave up in Glenwood Springs.
Wow.
And that's how he ended up getting it. Because he was going to film some of those surfers. Have you seen some of those videos of those surfers?
Yeah. It's amazing. Incredible. I would never do that. See, the thing about surfing in the ocean is if you fall, it washes you up on shore. If you fall while you're in the river, you're not getting washed up on shore until it hits the ocean.
Well, but I think they have safety things in place.
You think so?
Yeah, they do.
Like what?
They're able to pull you out further downstream or something like that.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
241-8801, welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs. How can we help you?
I was wondering, are you guys worried about Gmail, the hacking that's going on?
No.
Nope. If you use Gmail, just have a really good password. So change your password to something with an asterisk and an exclamation point in it or something like that. Make a really complex password.
And if you're worried, just change it often.
Don't use the same password on Gmail that you use everywhere else. Make it an exclusive password that you only use for your Gmail account, and you should be fine.
Oh, okay.
Most of the hacking that takes place through Gmail, it comes from people hacking into other databases, and they see the Gmail address, and then they take the password with whatever that account was, and they try that password with the email address. And it works because you use the same...
And oftentimes, too, they're looking for high-value targets. So if you're a high-value target, then maybe you should be worried.
Right.
But if you're a Joe Schmo like Adam and I, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No, that's me.
Yeah, I don't think you should have anything to worry about. But I would change your
password. And if you are a high-value target and you're afraid to say on the air, we appreciate you listening to the show.
That's right.
I appreciate the show. So change your password, like, how often?
Oh, no, well...
As often as you'd like. If you're very worried about it or a little bit worried about it, change it monthly.
The thing is,
it's not going to hurt.
I use my Gmail password for only Gmail. I don't use it for anything else, and it's not even remotely close to what my other passwords are. So I don't change mine very often at all.
Well, that's what I just have one password for the Gmail. Yeah.
So but I would make it kind of complex. The other thing too, and this is how Sarah Palin's account got hacked back on Yahoo a while back, is you want your security questions to be something nobody else could figure out. So in other words, don't make your security question what is my address or what is my wife's first name. Or something like that. You want to go with something that people couldn't figure out. One tip that I've heard a lot of people use is they pick a couple words. Doesn't matter what they are, rosebud and giraffe, you know, pick two words. And then use those
Rick
two.
Rick and Adam.
Yeah, Rick and Adam. Use those two words as the answer to your security question.
Oh.
So that way, it doesn't matter what the question is. What is your birthday? What is your wife's maiden name? Any of that stuff doesn't matter because you're just going to use that keyword instead. For the answer.
Yeah, you don't have to give true answers to those questions. And I always recommend you don't.
Right.
Oh, that's a...
See, that way if somebody looks it up and says, oh, I know your mother's maiden name is Johnson.
I know your high school mascot was Trojans.
Right. It doesn't matter because you used the keyword Rosebud.
Ah, gotcha.
See that? Oh. So try some of that sort of stuff and that should keep you safe. I don't worry too much about hackers.
The other nice thing about some of the... I think Yahoo does it now too, but Gmail's done it for sure, is you can attach your cell phone number to your password recovery.
Right.
And then that way, the only way you can recover the password or change the password is have them send you a text message to your cell phone. And then that's another good way to get around hacking because hopefully you always have your cell phone in possession, so that way if there's someone trying to change your password, you'll know about it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Could I ask one more question? I just bought a camera, a digital camera, Canon T2i, and it talks about the sensor getting dusty or dirty. I've got two lenses.
Yep.
Is there any tricks on how to change the lens outside without getting it dirty, the sensor dirty?
You know, it'd probably be better if you go to dpreview.com or somewhere like that and ask some more of the experts on that. There's always new tips and tricks people have. Some people carry a special bag with them. Some people, you know, have special techniques that they use for it. But in the end, about every couple years or maybe less, you'll have to have that sensor cleaned professionally. It's not and there's even websites that show you how to do it and sell a kit if you want to do it yourself. And I wouldn't, you know, I just make sure you follow the instructions exactly so that you don't scratch the sensor. But all of those SLRs, if you change the lenses at all, they're eventually going to get some dust in them.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. No problem.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1. Some of the new cameras I see every now and then say self-cleaning sensors.
Right. Canons have that, and I think there's some other ones that do. Most of them work through vibration. So they have a little feature on them, so when you turn the camera on and off,
it vibrates. Are those more the non-SLRs, though?
No, those are SLRs.
Oh, those are
SLRs. Yeah, most SLRs have a feature like that.
Okay.
But, again, it doesn't – it vibrates at a real high frequency. It's supposed to shake the dust off, but it doesn't – and it also will sometimes put a little static shock to kind of get the dust to bounce off.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still going to get some buildup that's so microscopic. And that's the problem, is these little dots in these sensors – are microscopic, so it only takes a microscopic piece of dust to
create. Well, the good news is we don't live in a very dusty environment in Western Colorado, so he shouldn't worry about it.
We live in a nice, humid place right here with
very little dust in the air.
Yes, especially this time of year. Yeah.
All right, 241-8801. I just saw a link, a very easy link, Adam, to where you can find the live stream of the lunar eclipse tonight. Is just youtube.com/Google.
Well, there you go.
Here it is. So youtube.com/Google if you want to watch the eclipse.
Cool.
I didn't look at the times there, though.
Facebook is going to get into the photo sharing business with an app just for sharing photos on Facebook, trying to take over some of the Flickr and what's the other one? The big one, Instagram, some of those.
Picasso.
Photo sharing. Yeah,
so that way you don't have to be a person's friend to share the photos, in other words? They're going to try to do it that way?
I haven't read that far, but basically what it is, you don't have to open your Facebook app and then hit upload photo and then go through all of that. This app will make it so it automatically shares the photo on Facebook.
Kind of a little separate place or something.
Yeah, a little separate app to do it. So that's interesting. If you have an iPhone, you might want to look into that. That's an interesting
Has it just come out already or no?
It looks like it's just about to come out.
So they haven't released it yet.
No.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. What other – we haven't talked about Apple a lot this week, which is a good thing.
Apple hasn't really done anything.
Yeah,
I think they're dying.
Since they're a developer.
Other than the fact that they did announce – other than whatever – not Apple announced it, but I forget who it was. Somebody who in the know, one of those companies,
Mossberg,
announced that Apple is now worth more than Microsoft, Intel, and – who is the other one?
Well, I thought it was just Intel and Microsoft combined.
I thought there were three of them. Or something. I don't remember. Sun or who knows. One of the other big companies worth more than all those combined.
I know. Which is amazing because back in the 90s, Microsoft was the largest tech company. Well, I think it was the largest company, period.
Right.
Behind maybe Shell or Texaco or one of those. But yeah, it's amazing. Apple has gone absolutely nuts. And I guess one rumor I did hear about this week, I could look it up, but I'm too lazy to look it up
ahead.
With 10 minutes
sure.
to go,
yeah.
is I bought the MacBook Air in October.
New ones are right around the corner.
That's what they're saying. They're thinking that they're going to refresh the MacBook Air line with the new operating system.
Right.
The new operating system called Lion, and it's supposed to compete almost with some of the Google Chrome products that are just now coming out.
Right.
And we talked about Google Chrome as the web browser. And in past shows, we've hinted about Google Chrome coming out with their own operating system.
Right.
They were hoping to have that finalized in 2010.
They're just starting to come out right now. The first Samsung's hit the market in the last couple of weeks.
And they're going to be $300 plus bucks.
which is stupid.
Which I think is way high. Yep. It's a much higher price point than I think they were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of the little test laptops I just sent in for it in December for the heck of it, and they sent me one. And it works good.
Yeah.
It works well. It's a neat little device. But it's not a $300 device.
It doesn't draw me in. No. It would have to be a $100, $150, $200 device in order for it to be worth what they claim.
It is pretty instant on and instant off. And it's primarily for web browsing and doing anything you would do on the web. In fact, that's about all you can do.
You can't do anything except for web-based stuff. Right. So you can run anything, you know, Flickr or any of those, but it has to be something that's based on the web. It can't be, you can't install applications onto it.
There's nothing local that you can do with it.
Right.
But $329 or something like that is the first price point from Samsung. Yeah. That's just high, high.
Well, Google's running into a problem because they have Google Chrome OS, which is an online operating system, what you're talking about.
Right.
Then they have Android, the Android operating system.
Right.
And that runs cell phones, and then they have this new version of Android operating system, which is made for tablets.
Right.
So Chrome OS is basically
fragmenting too much?
I think, Chrome OS is a laptop-only operating system.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a keyboard to use it efficiently and effectively. You know, it needs to be in a computer. I think that perhaps it could be a good option for a netbook, but Google is very adamant at saying that this is not a netbook operating system, that it's, you know, they want to release full 15-inch laptops with this operating system. I think if they partnered up with a major textbook company and released it to students for $150 or for $300, you get a subscription to any textbooks you want or something like, you know, if they were to market it to students, I think that could be a niche. But it's not going to save it. It's not going to bring it under the consumers. But I think
one of their problems is they came out almost a year later than they thought they were going to.
Oh, sure.
And the iPad and tablets, like you mentioned, even the its own Android tablet operating system has really made it almost a moot point.
Right, exactly.
I think if they could have really pushed it and worked when the netbooks first came out.
Sure.
And used it as a netbook operating system, I think that would have been a good niche also.
Right.
But it's... For a full-size laptop and for something that's going to cost $300 and up, that's just too much.
Right,
people don't want to spend that much money on a very narrowly focused device, because it is just a web device.
Right, and the more I use my iPad, the more I realize that it is actually the separate screen that doesn't fit the need of a laptop and it doesn't fit the need of a desktop. It's like the go-between everything else, and you end up using. It's kind of the appliance that you and I have always talked about. We've always thought that there needs to be a time, there needs to be some sort of computer appliance that people use to read their email, view their photos.
Search the web. Listen to music.
Yeah. There needs to be that appliance. And
the tablet
is that appliance, specifically the iPad, but I think that Android and those could catch up to most of it.
I guess that new Galaxy tablet, did you hear that it's gotten some very tepid reviews?
Yeah.
Because they said the battery life isn't very good, it's not very snappy, and the applications still aren't quite there for the Android environment that they are in the Apple environment.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Apple's just
they're close, but they're not.
They've gotten
the
far and ahead way. 241-8801. I guess this will be our last call.
A couple minutes left. This will be our last call. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
I'm considering doing Skype with a family member in another state. Are there security concerns with that type of transmission?
No.
Nope, not at all.
No, okay.
Nope.
Okay. Does the account have to be set up specifically for that? I mean, for security?
Nope. All you want to do, because the thing is you can't talk to anybody and nobody else can get involved in your conversation without your permission.
Okay.
So when you go in and you say, I want to talk to this person, you have to know their name and you connect up to them. Then they have to agree to talk to you. And then once you start talking, no one else can get involved with that without you inviting them in.
I see.
So you're fine.
You can elect, and I think by default, when you set up your account, you're not put into their online directory. So if you don't even want to be listed in their online directory, you can opt out of that. But as Adam said, you have to approve everyone who wants to be your friend or your contact in Skype. So, no, it's a very secure, very fun way and very inexpensive way to communicate with people around the world.
Major, major, major corporations, individuals, billionaires, all these people who, if it was at all vulnerable, they wouldn't use it, but they do use it. They're, you know, it's, there's some very important conversations always taking place over Skype. And if it was a concern, it would have been a concern long before now. Nothing's happened. It's good.
Now, that being said, Microsoft just bought Skype.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So
that's true. But
let's hope that they don't have their typical Midas touch, the reverse Midas touch with things they buy. But as of now, it's a great service. And as long as, again, we talked about earlier with the Gmail caller, just select good passwords, practice good, safe Skyping, you'll be fine.
Can you make a recommendation on a better choice of webcam than the, you know, just an average run-of-the-mill cam?
No, would, Microsoft makes a really good one, but you don't really need it too much unless you want to be HD for some reason. But you don't really need it if you're just having communications. In fact, when people talk on a webcam, they pretty much expect it to be a low res, low quality.
And they're all pretty good today.
Yeah, they are. They're so good now that it's, you'll be surprised how well it does.
But I'm with Adam. If you stay with a Microsoft or a Logitech, those are going to be your two major developers of webcams. And I don't think spending more than $50 is necessary.
Yeah. To give you some good examples of that, there's people like Mossberg who works for the
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal, thank you. Mossberg works for the Wall Street Journal. No, Wall Street Journal, I think is right. He does the that's okay, you'll look at it. We'll find out. But anyway, but
he's time.
He does you're probably right. The anyway, but he does a regular video post or video blog where he talks about the industry or a specific device, and he just uses the little camera built right into his Mac. You're going to find that that's the case with a lot of these things where it doesn't, you know, adding a professional equipment and higher end stuff doesn't add to credibility more than just producing a good quality product. So
how about that tracking feature some of them advertise?
I think it's weird. I think it's generally, I think it's weird. I think if you're doing a show where you are moving around a lot, maybe a teacher or something like that, it might work, but it is all software based. And so what happens is that any of these cameras that claim that they have a zoom lens, that zoom is a digital or zoom feature, that zoom is digital. So anytime it zooms in, you're going to get lower quality because it's actually just zooming in on
the
pixels.
Yeah. It's a gimmick.
So I just wouldn't worry about the tracking. You can turn it off. So if it comes with it, don't worry about that. But I would just turn off the tracking and turn off the zoom.
Okay, good deal. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, we appreciate it. Okay. All right, we better wrap it up, Mr. Adam. If you want to get us another track on the music on the way out here, we appreciate
it. Here we go.
We appreciate you listening to KFM 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado and the Noontime Public Affairs. We'll be back again next month. Thank you.